to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working from home on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, March 5th, 2021. The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations calls on South Sudanese leaders to get serious.
We see the situation in South Sudan as precarious. We are worried about the slow pace of the peace process and the levels of violence, and we believe UNMISS has a critical role to play.
And more people remain missing after South Sudan's 2013 conflict.
First, there is the security constraints to access some parts of the country. Then there is the limited access to phone networks in many parts of the country. There is people also are not returning home after clashings and often presumed dead and not searched for.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations is calling on South Sudanese leaders to expedite the implementation of the 2018 peace agreement, address rampant intercommunal violence in parts of the country, give humanitarian workers access to vulnerable South Sudanese dealing with violence and hunger. Linda Thomas-Greenfield, who assumed presidency of the UN Security Council on Wednesday, says South Sudan's 2018 peace agreement remains fragile. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio reports from Washington.
This will be my last briefing to the Security Council as SRSG as I depart next month. So I beg your indulgence to speak for a couple more minutes to share some personal reflections. At the end of my 4 years in South Sudan, I look back with a certain level of comfort about how far the country has come. There's a ceasefire, a peace deal, a transitional government, a presidency, council of ministers, and local leadership slowly being installed.
In his last briefing yesterday to the United Nations Security Council, David Shearer, the outgoing special representative of the UN Secretary General to South Sudan and the head of UNMISS, noted progress made in implementing the revitalized peace deal, such as the constitution of the presidency and the council of ministers, along with the recent appointments of state government officials. But Shearer says after a year of forming the government of national unity, progress has been slow. Linda Thomas-Greenfield, the U.S. permanent ambassador to the UN, says the Biden administration is worried about the slow progress in implementing South Sudan's peace agreement.
We see the situation in South Sudan as precarious. We are worried about the slow pace of the peace process and the levels of violence, and we believe UNMISS has a critical role to play in protecting civilians and supporting peace. So we call upon leaders of South Sudan to accelerate the peace process, the peace agreement, lower levels of violence, work with UNMISS, open the gates for humanitarian access, especially to help with hunger and starvation.
Ambassador Thomas-Greenfield called this a critical moment for South Sudan. She says despite the reduction in political violence among the parties to the peace agreement, intercommunal violence has been on the rise in parts of the country.
Subnational fighting has simply surged in South Sudan. And worse, we are extremely concerned by indications that political actors are directly involved. That's not peace, and that is not acceptable. This violence exacerbates an already devastating humanitarian situation. An estimated 7 million people face severe food insecurity, conflict, severe floods, a microeconomic crisis, and the impacts of COVID-19 have compounded to make the hunger situation dire.
The U.S. diplomat says South Sudan's government has been blocking UNMISS and other humanitarian agencies from providing critical support to vulnerable South Sudanese.
Government officials and other parties continue to impede humanitarian access to populations in need of assistance. This cannot be tolerated by the international community. We call on South Sudan's leaders to stop the violence and ensure the immediate de-escalation of subnational conflict. We call on them to prevent human rights abuses and violations.
Thomas-Greenfield stressed the need for the participation of women in peace building across South Sudan. She welcomed the appointment of 3 women deputy governors, but expressed concern about South Sudan's failure to ensure 35% women's representation in the transitional government as stipulated in the peace agreement. Jacqueline Nasiwa is the founder of the Center for Inclusive Governance, Peace and Justice, a local organization based in South Sudan. She says the parties to the peace deal have denied women their right to participate in the government and help build their country.
The participation of women, as provided for in the peace agreement, which calls for 35% representation, thanks to hard-won advocacy efforts by women civil society, is far from being met. The few women who have been appointed so far make up less than 20% at the national and state level. In some states, including Warab, Jonglei, Northern Barangay, and Unity states, women representation is 11-17%. While at the county level, women make up only 2%.
Ambassador Thomas Greenfield and Nasiwa both say they are concerned about the high level of gender-based violence against women and girls in South Sudan, which is at times perpetrated by members of the security services and other armed groups. South Sudan in Focus repeatedly reached out to the South Sudanese ambassador to the UN in New York, Akwae Bonamalual, for comment on this report without success. Thomas Greenfield says the United States remains committed to South Sudan and its people and will continue to work with the transitional government, the Security Council, UNMISS, humanitarian groups and all stakeholders to bring peace to the country. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
The International Committee of the Red Cross says the number of missing persons separated from their families by armed conflict and violence in South Sudan is likely to increase over the next few years due to continued insecurity and difficulties in tracing people. An ICRC official in South Sudan says his organization has recorded nearly 7,000 cases of missing persons since 2013. For VOA News, Online Walter Solomon reports from Juba.
Lucian Christian, a public relations officer at the IRC in South Sudan, says between December 2013, when the conflict broke out, and December 2019, the ICRC recorded more than 5,880 cases of missing people. He says the ICRC recorded 844 new cases in 2020 alone. With so many displaced, often multiple times, Christian says the recorded cases of missing persons represent only a fraction of the real numbers. He says many hurdles increase the difficulties for South Sudanese to learn what happened to their loved ones.
First, there is the security constraints to access some parts of the country. Then there is the limited access to phone networks in many parts of the country. There is people also are not returning home after clashings and often presumed dead and not searched for. And finally, there is limited capacity to manage and identify bodies properly.
Christian says the ICRC is helping families, communities and authorities to address these challenges. 46-year-old soldier Luol Jok became the 156th and first vulnerable person to be reunited with his children in Juba earlier this year. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus via phone from Akobo a week ago, just before his reunification, Jok says he lost contact with his family at the start of the conflict in 2013 when he left home to attend a government meeting.
This is when I lose them almost eight years, and their mother has been killing with a crossfire for South Sudan. At that time, I went to another branch and I led them to Malakal as a family in their place. So when the crisis happened, so this lady left four children, very, very, very young.
Jok says he was overwhelmed with joy when he received a phone call from a man who identified himself as Chuol Duol Nyon, who told him some wonderful news.
Your children, they are with me. I collect them during of the war, and now they are with me here in a refugee camp. I say, okay, I'm become very happy. If you are together with your children, you please, you can bring them to Akobo, and then I will see the way to come and visit you with them there.
Speaking from Akobo, Duol says his brother found the children who were stranded in Malakal after their mother was killed in 2013. He says his brother collected the children and took them to Akobo. Duol says he took the children with him to a refugee camp in Ethiopia. While in the camp, Duol says he met a woman who said the children belonged to her deceased sister, which began the start of Jock's reunion with his family.
My brother got those child in Malakal 2013. We got those children with sitting around the mother, and got the small one having only 2 months, pre-pick the dead body, the dead body mother. We collect those children from there and bring them to Takobo, and I got the children.
Jock says he informed the office of the first vice president, Riek Machar, and Duol linked him with the International Committee of the Red Cross, UNICEF, and other NGOs. Jock says when his bosses realized he could be reunited with his children, they took him to Akobo in February, so he could bring his children to Juba, where he resides. The children were handed over to Jock following a celebration sponsored by the UN and other agencies that facilitated the reunion. Christian says last year the ICRC reunited hundreds of vulnerable South Sudanese with their families.
Between January and December 2020, the ICRC has reunited 155 vulnerable persons that were separated by the conflict and armed violence. This includes children, and we reunited them with their families. We have also facilitated over 33,300 phone calls between family members that were separated by the conflict, and helped exchange over 1,680 Red Cross messages with family news inside that we deliver from one family member to another.
Since 2013, Christian says the ICRC has reunited 1,350 vulnerable persons, including children separated by the conflict and armed violence, with their families. For VOA News, I am Onel Walter Solomon in Juba.
Still on missing persons, the Ugandan government has released a list of people that it has detained at various detention facilities across the country. The list of 177 people was released Thursday by Uganda's Minister for Internal Affairs. Officials from the opposition National Unity Platform of Bobi Wine say more people are still missing on the list. For VOA News, Mungume Devsura Karinj reports from Kampala.
Internal Affairs Minister J.J. Odongo read out the list of missing individuals, the members of parliament, Thursday afternoon. He said they were arrested for different alleged crimes, including illegal demonstration, possessing military equipment, and planning post-election violence. Odongo said some have been prosecuted, while others will be prosecuted, including in military courts. Minister Odongo said the government would not hesitate to arrest more people suspected of committing crimes.
Arrests will continue in as far as there is reason to do so. Because to say no arrest, supposing there is a thief tomorrow, and then because we have said there will be no arrest, then we don't arrest the thief.
Parliamentarian Theodore Sechikubo of the ruling National Resistance Movement, or NRM, also condemned what he called rampant kidnappings and arrests that he said have occurred in the aftermath of the contested presidential elections.
There's no way you can defend a political difference to degenerate into court martials of the civilians, whom you know that civilians are tried in civil courts. On this matter of the abducted people, abducted persons in this country, there is no way I can stand and defend you. This is a very bleeding stigmata. You've not allowed the wounds of politics to heal.
This week, the National Platform released a list of 243 supporters that it says were kidnapped by security agents. National Platform spokesperson Jory Senyon said it is wrong for the government to prosecute its political opponents. He says he does not entirely agree with the minister's list because it includes only those from Kampala.
Clearly, this list leaves a lot to be desired. We are not content. We are still demanding for answers. Let these people tell us where the missing persons are. If they are dead, let them produce the dead bodies such that the families get to know, and they bury their dead loved ones.
There have been conflicting messages from government and security officials, with some denying the arrest and detention of missing persons. But last month, President Museveni acknowledged that some people had been detained by the government, and he tasked the security agencies to come out with the list. Miriam Atembe, a human rights activist, says she's disturbed by the continued arbitrary detention of people opposed to the ruling party.
Lee, I'm about to go mad. Is this what Ugandans should accept? That thousands of Ugandans, because they are in opposition during the electoral process, they opposed the government, they should be arrested, they should be tortured, some of them are killed, some of them are wounded, and some of them are being thrown into the bush. Is that right?
A number of MPs say there should be a commission of inquiry about missing persons. For VOA News, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, African countries are vaccinating health workers and elderly people. Stay tuned for that story after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
in which way are you most like your parents?
In my physical appearance, I'm most like my dad. I do not really look like my mom. She talks a lot, but I also don't like talking.
I look very much like my dad, and I speak like him too. But as for my mother, I don't resemble her at all, but I love her anyway.
I'm like my dad when it comes to giving orders, like leading. And then when it comes to my mom, I'm like her when it comes to cooking, because she has good cooking skills.
Yeah, like my character. People say I'm like my parents when it comes to character. Like the way I behave, the way I socialize, it's just like the way my parents do.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The World Health Organization says COVID-19 distribution in African countries is accelerating, and hopeful signs are emerging that a significant portion of Africa's population will be covered by the end of the year. Latest figures put the number of infections in Africa at more than 3.9 million, with 104,000 deaths. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Data show the COVID-19 pandemic overall is on a downward trend in most countries on the continent. However, World Health Organization officials fear a resurgence of cases in the future as pressure increases to ease lockdown restrictions. They point to a recent rise of COVID-19 cases in 10 countries as a worrying sign. At the same time, the acceleration of vaccine distribution in Africa is giving rise to hope. WHO Regional Director for Africa, Machidiso Moeti, says nearly 10 million vaccine doses have been delivered to 11 countries this week, and she expects about half of all countries on the continent will receive COVID-19 vaccine deliveries in the coming weeks. She says most countries will have vaccination programs underway by the end of March. Moeti says the COVAX facility is targeting 3% of the population as it starts its vaccine rollout across Africa. But she adds COVAX aims to increase that figure and cover 20% of the population by the end of the year.
We are very pleased that the African Union, working through its vaccine acquisition task team, has targeted ensuring that by the end of the year, sufficient vaccine has been procured and available to countries to cover 60% of the population.
By the end of the year, Moeti says she hopes to reach a level of coverage in African countries that not only reduces severe illness and deaths, but also starts to slow down the spread of the coronavirus. In other words, she says she hopes the continent will achieve so-called herd immunity. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
We love to hear what you think about this show. My colleague Nabil Biagio has some interesting comments we received this week from our listeners across South Sudan. Over to you, Nabil.
Thanks, John. We start this week's comments with a message from a listener who refers to himself only as Khamis in Yei Town. He writes, "Hello, South Sudan in Focus. It's too hard still to hear people are losing their lives over cattle in South Sudan. I'm calling upon our leaders to do more about these killings in the eastern coast of Yei Town. Our leaders are silent again. God have mercy on us." James Dor Chenkwo, a Yale from Juba, writes, "Hello, sir. I'm really concerned about the issue of land grabbing because it has become a major problem in Central Equatorial State. It is a total violation of Article 171, Section 2B in the Transitional Constitution of South Sudan. I'm also concerned about the issue of economic crisis in the country. What can we do as vulnerable people in the country since prices are skyrocketing in the market on a daily basis?" This listener says, "Good evening, VOA. I'm Emma in Juba. Thank you for connecting us to the wonderful job you do. How can the Commissioner of Police in Yei deny the identity of those who killed two innocent civilians while rearing their cattle?" Isaac Tang in Bentiu Town writes, "Today I want to say my biggest grievance to our nation is a question. Who will compensate me for the time lost after independence on July 9th, 2011? I would have used the time wasted to do something for my kids before becoming old and incapable. Thanks Nabil Biagio and John Tanza for your contribution to build peace in this country. We will never forget you. I have followed your program since 2015. And a listener says, "I am Malong Gu Mater, getting you live from Rumbek. I am one of those who have lost hope in our government. I don't think the government will be able to pay this bloated cabinet and spare some money for any developmental projects. I thank our president for suspending the operations of this airline company, and I request that a thorough investigation be carried out and made public. South Supreme Airline should account for this tragic accident." Deng Tinjok from Ton writes, "I'm worried, John Tanzer, about the safety of underdeveloped countries like South Sudan from fake vaccines made by Chinese, as we witnessed from the report from South Africa that some individuals were caught making fake vaccines." Saber Isaac Khamis from Yambio in Western Equatorial State writes, "Hi VOA, South Sudan in Focus. The issue of land grabbing is very common in South Sudan and very complicated to handle as most of the land grabbers are government officials. I call on civil society to intervene on behalf of the vulnerable people." Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul of Block 3 in Bor Town writes, "Tanza, the dispute over land, especially in Juba, is another hot spot for sectoral violence. I urge the government to address the early indicators before it turns into violence." Jacob Dior Machweng from Ural Lake State writes, "Good evening, South Sudan in Focus. I'm writing to celebrate the women of South Sudan since March is dedicated to them. The women of South Sudan are too resilient and hardworking. Many of them are the breadwinners and champions for peace in the country. A special dedication to Angelina Adel Malual in Rumbek, who has been initiating peace among the locals." Mal Adau Mal in Bor Town writes, "It's very unfortunate that South Sudan is the graveyard for American and European outdated planes that were grounded some years back. Does this nation have a specialized aviation authority with its experts? I was shocked when I heard the director of Supreme Airlines claiming that they do have experts." Mengistu Zama BD from Yambio in Western Equatorial State writes, "It's really painful to be losing our people every year in plane crashes. This is really terrible. May their innocent souls dwell in eternal life. And I'm equally worried about some airlines that usually provide better aircraft, like the Kush Airlines, that have started introducing additional L-40s repainted and very shaky in the air. Using some of these planes is like committing suicide." Samuel Remo in Yale writes, "Hi John Tanza, I was shocked to hear that a plane crashed at Pierre Airstrip in Jonglei State. Most business people in South Sudan hire worn-out planes. It's unfortunate that we have lost productive people. May their souls rest in eternal peace." And a listener says, "Hello VOA, I'm Mabor Alat Rengu from Rumbek. Welcome our listeners from Awil who were connected to VOA on Akolyam Community Radio on Monday. This is good work to connect all parts of South Sudan to listen live to this very good radio with valid news. I would like to send my condolence messages to the families of those who lost their lives in the Aurora plane crash. This is a tragedy. Rest in peace. God gives and God takes." A listener who refers to himself only as Uncle Jay from Numuli Town writes, "Hello South Sudan in Focus. Let people respect and comply with the Minister of Health's coronavirus preventive guidelines, because the Bible tells us in the book of Romans 13:1-2 that we should obey the government, for God is the one who has put it there. There is no government anywhere that God has not placed in power. Those who refuse to obey the law of the land are refusing to obey God, and punishment will follow." Mading Malual Alwong from Malakal Town writes, Where did the government of South Sudan misplace Mr. Olympia Otipio, the former National Revenue Authority, and the former deputy mayor of Juba City Council, Mr. Thick Mayardit? I think our government doesn't want them anymore because those guys were very transparent with the public. Ilia Kayanga Allison from High Seminary Juba writes, I am so much touched about the Mangala land grabbing. What belongs to the people of Mangala must be given to the people of Mangala. Justice must fully prevail to avoid others who also have the same mindset from rising up in other areas. And we end with this beautiful message about our work. Joseph Awier from Juba writes, Hello John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. Thank you very much for reaching into Akoliam in Awil Town. The community radio covers the whole of northern Bahar Ghazal and part of Warab State. This is very paramount and indeed taking towns to people. It also means taking news to the people to know what is happening countrywide. I am optimistic that you have kept your promise consistently as usual. Please keep up the fantastic spirit of updating and educating our communities on what is happening around the globe and in South Sudan, in particular on South Sudan in Focus and VOA Africa.
Keep those comments coming. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
We now leave you in a dancing mood with the song Pir Aher by D. Coote.
I call to Lun Way, what the way in the go? Kai Bako, Kedwalavan, I call a band, I better win, and Yambo because I'm so dangerous, what the way in the go? Wakai Kot Kabaja don't find the dinner, Wakai Quantul, Nekutiamjul. Jafu jamme jamma ngui lera wo da baba ben baye kada pirager pirager akornum pirager pirager akorman fan ku pirchu ko mit ke bay sudan mel ku ne piro piro kanenga korke piro kaneng mike ne piyaer wo kai kol chulun wey banru jangru wo tu wey ndugo Kai bako kedwalaven jengru jengru akola panda birawe jengru jengru ten jambo mit ke sausu jengru jengru waluñ way ñintugo jengru jengru wa kai kot ke baaje dong pangru jengru ku yak pingu yak
jang. We've been listening to D. Coote with the song Pir Aher. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our Friday. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from coronavirus. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
kai bako kedwa leven
dengeru dengeru
akola panda berawe
dengeru dengeru
and jambo mit ke sauso
dengeru dengeru
waluñ way ñindego
dengeru dengeru
we kai kot ke baaje dum pangeru dengeru
ek ci jeng tok ke kangule ya cham joyin
fandu na jodi na torbe ki kañal
long long long
lungo lunga waj
long long long
panaye
aku yakru.